Blog Talk Radio.
Another edition of Live from the Cheeseburger Nebula. I am your host, Dr. William Stewart Bonney, who is broadcasting live tonight, of course, from the left shoulder of the Cygnus Quadrant, the galaxy. Tonight I have a very dear friend of mine on, and a very special person to not only the community of Denver, but also to a growing number of individuals around the country who have dietary issues. Stacey Marcellus is a, like I said, just an amazing person, first and foremost, but also an incredible cook, per sorts. I guess magician in the kitchen is the best way to put it. She is the owner-operator, along with Benjamin Froschow, I hope I pronounced that right, of Capello's gluten-free, grain-free kitchen. It is a pasta and cookie company, and we are going to bring her on now. Stacey, are you there with us?
I am. How's it going?
It's going beautifully. It's a wonderful night here in Denver, Colorado, which I have.
Agreed.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, enjoying the cloudy skies.
Yeah, it's been a really, really cloudy day. Really nice, like, overcast. Kind of a goodbye to winter, as we bid adieu.
Well,
thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. I want to just kind of let you introduce yourself first to our listeners. So please go ahead and do that.
Yeah, my name is Stacey Marcellus. I grew up in Boulder, Colorado, and started Capello's about 3 years ago with Benjamin Frolicsine, actually. I know that one was pretty brutal to pronounce. but yeah, anyway, we started the company about 3 years ago and have been going strong ever since. Would you like me to get into how the company started?
Well, yeah, exactly. I would love to. I think everybody would love to know how and why y'all started.
Yeah, it was I feel like the company started somewhat out of, kind of materialized on its own, I guess, as most things do. I was a hairstylist when I lived in Boulder, and then I moved to Argentina in 2009. And in doing so, I was living down there and working on an organic farm for a little while, and I realized in the time that I spent there that it was time for me to switch careers. And I really wanted to start working in the food industry in some shape or form. And I didn't know exactly what that meant. So when I came back to the States in 2010, I moved into the mountains and worked at restaurants, just kind of getting by, trying to decide the way I wanted to shape my next career. And I knew that I wanted to do food, but I didn't want to be a chef necessarily because I didn't want the headaches of, or I guess the stress of the kitchen and the horrible pay of the kitchen. So I was tossing around ideas with Ben one night when he came up to visit, and he had just been making pasta with a buddy and was like, this is so fun, we should start a pasta company. And I was like, pasta's been done a million times. We can't, you know, we don't want to reinvent the wheel. So we decided to, I knew that I had to be gluten-free for a little while at that point. And we decided that we would start a gluten-free pasta company at that moment. And I guess from there, I still was living in the mountains. I started working on recipes. I'd never really made pasta before, actually. But I played with recipes, all different kinds of gluten-free recipes, and then I decided to move down to Ben's house after the snowboarding season was over, and at that point I just, like, dedicated all my time into researching how to make amazing gluten-free pasta, and actually ended up that we made grain-free pasta, and we didn't realize it at first, actually, until a friend of ours was on the paleo diet. He was like, you know, I can eat that. And actually, we realized how much of a movement that had become, the grain-free movement, and that as soon as we realized that our products were grain-free, since we didn't realize it on our own, we decided to make the whole company a grain-free food company in general and not necessarily tie ourselves to only pasta.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, and I think, well, and before we get into what I really want to talk about, there I don't think a lot of people really understand what the difference between a paleo, like what exactly a paleo diet entails and what necessarily also a gluten-free diet entails, or also what the struggles of someone who is a gluten intolerant or celiac, you know, at a harsher level, what that entails. Do you think you could, like, kind of give a little explanation between the two of those?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're celiac or gluten intolerant, that means that you are, that your body does not break down gluten properly. And so there's definitely different levels of how intolerant you can be. I mean, there's people who, if they have even a little bit of exposure to flour, can go into anaphylactic shock. So that's obviously the super extreme side of things. But even if you're just slightly gluten intolerant, what it means is that your body is not digesting food properly and your intestines are being damaged every time you eat it. And that means that you're no longer able to absorb nutrients from other foods. It's an autoimmune disorder, and it will eventually catch up with you. If you're not absorbing nutrients from the good food that you're eating because of wheat, then you end up malnourished and really sick. So that is what it means to be gluten intolerant or celiac. And I think that one of the big movements that's happening right now, though, is that what people are realizing who eat just a gluten-free diet is that a lot of the processed products that are being made are made with other ingredients that are maybe that they're not allergic to, but most grains that are, but they're made out of grains, and most grains are GMOs, and they're also very high on the glycemic index, which means that your body converts those grains into sugar really fast, and sugar is really bad for us. Yeah, so what a lot of gluten-free people are realizing is that the products that are available still aren't very nutritious. And so the paleo movement is, if you eat the paleo diet, you are not eating any grains, any dairy, no legumes. But mostly I'd say that the key part of that is the no grains aspect of it. So that is, you know, where we lie, and it's cool to be, you know, to have a product that's actually nutritious.
Absolutely. Yeah. And,
did that answer that question fully?
Yeah, definitely. And I kind of want to expand on the first part of that question, too, is, like, before meeting you and your whole crew, because I am blessed and what I'm able to eat and what I'm able to process on a daily basis. And I go about my day completely not thinking about it. But since I've started, thinking about it more and more, gluten is, heavy gluten especially, is in a lot of products that I eat, you know, like a lot of pizzas, a lot of, sandwich breads, hamburgers, cheeseburgers, obviously. I mean, that's what this show is titled for. So, it's one of those that, you know, I don't. And what are kind of some of the symptoms too? Because I don't know. It's still one of those things that, like, it's growing in size, and people are now conscious of gluten. You know, at least the word. But I still don't know if people would be like, oh, I have a gluten intolerance.
Sure.
Just because, yeah. Like, what do you go through? You know.
I mean, it definitely depends on the person, and I feel like, well, if you're by the time with anything, by the time you're actually showing symptoms, there's been a lot of damage that's already been done internally. I know that probably, like, the smaller, more common symptoms of if you're gluten intolerant and continue to eat gluten are that you get a lot of inflammation in your joints. Your joints might hurt, and just in your body in general, you look bloated and feel like feel extremely, extremely full and really tired after you eat. Those are some of, like, the more minor symptoms that somebody might show. There's also a lot of different like rashes and skin. It might show up on your skin in different ways. And then obviously on a more extreme level, like I said, if you're celiac, and there's some people who are celiac who go into anaphylactic shock when they have an exposure, but they're most likely finding out at a younger age, most likely, and just digestion problems in general.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, yeah, I feel like it's definitely now being caught earlier and earlier, and people are, you know, as you were saying earlier, I think for a long time people weren't even really eating products or food as much as they were eating food-like products and not really realizing or really taking into account where a lot of their food was coming from. And over the past few years, I mean, especially just here locally in Denver, from what I can see, there's been a huge movement, a huge change of perception across the board. I don't know if it's, you know, like that across the country, but I'd like to believe that, you know, the tides are shifting a little bit. And
yeah,
I think
probably worldwide.
Yeah, too. Also worldwide. That's a good point. Like, I mean, with you know, Monsanto Corporation and its you know, not being able to be anywhere else besides this country. I think that does say a lot about the food in general and the state of kind of where we are in general, just from that statement alone. But to kind of get away from that, I think there is a lot of stigma, too, that goes along with gluten-free or paleo because people don't want to eat that, you know, initially. I don't think they think it's going to, you know, maybe lack in flavor department or, like, whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that will all be destroyed if they ever have a single one of Capello's cookies because they're, like, literally – the best things ever, and honestly, anytime that I have them, they don't ever get made into cookies. They just, the cookie dough is eaten within, like, an hour of being brought home. How did the cookies come about? Because I feel like that's amazing.
You know, actually, the way the cookies came about is that a company called Primal Palette reached out to us, and they asked us if we would manufacture one of their most looked-at recipes on their website. Now, they're paleo bloggers, and they have a couple. They have, I believe, three best-selling cookbooks on Amazon. So, anyhow, they asked us if we would manufacture a product for them because they didn't know anything about manufacturing, and they didn't really know what it would entail. But they loved our current products and the way that we shipped them. So we agreed to manufacture their product under our brand. And at that point, too, you know, it definitely took a little bit of tweaking with the recipes in order to make it manufacturable, if that's the word. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's an amazing recipe, and it's really, really, the ingredients are just some of the highest quality ingredients you can find on the market, truly.
I mean,
we're really happy with it.
It makes me so happy to think about.
Ah.
And I know that anybody though who's listening who's tried it feels that same way because it's just one of those products. And, like, honestly, the thing I love about Capello's the most is, like, branding is a huge thing for me. And your packaging is one of those things that you can see from a mile away and kind of know whose it is because it's very unique and it's very, like, eye-catching and very, like, I don't want to say psychedelic, but it's psychedelic enough. Mm-hmm. It's like I don't know. It's great. It's just black and white, simple black and white patterns, but, like, all over the place. And it really rings true to, like, the mountains, you know, in some cosmic way. It really, like, it just, the branding of it is just, I don't know, it's a very beautiful thing. So
thank you.
But,
yeah, we've been really, really blessed with having Ben's brother do the packaging for us. He's an incredible designer.
Yeah, that's, and I mean, like, to keep it all in the family like that, too, is a very, very unique thing to be able to have happen. And that's another thing that I love about Capella's, you know, is like the family. It's a small family, but it's a large family at the same time. And that's just kind of how you guys make it feel. So.
Well, thank you. Yeah. The people that work with us are the most important thing about the company, that's for sure.
Yeah,
we really, like, we believe in the vibration that we put into the food, and the people who are actually behind the scenes making that all go down. That's what brings a tear to my eye, because we're all so close, and it's been a really beautiful process.
Oh. Well, I am going to play another song real quick, and we're going to go into hibernation for a couple of minutes. But then I want to bring you back on, ask a couple more questions, and then bid adieu, if that's all right with you.
And then what?
Bid adieu. Say goodbye for the night.
Yes, yes, yes. Sounds good.
For sure. All right, well, I'll talk to you in just 1 second.
All right.
All right, and so the first song tonight, too, I realized that I never really gave that credit. That was Louie, and that was Divine Spirit. Very phenomenal track. This next is Fairy Fountain by Shag. And this is Live from the Cheeseburger Nebula. So, first interview question. If you were going to travel to a planet in our solar system, what planet would it be?
In our solar system.
In our solar system. Because I don't really know any planet. If you know a planet outside of the solar system, like it's like number whatever. you can totally use that, and I will allow that, and you'll probably get bonus points. But I just don't know.
Man, you know, I wish I was more. I'm not that familiar with all the names of the planets. However, I'm not, and I'm also not sure which ones are. I mean, I guess with like environmental aside.
Yeah, environmental aside, you've got like this bubble, or like a suit, or something cool is going on. And you can really do whatever you want.
Oh man, you know, the first thing that pops into my head is Venus, but that seems so generic. But at the same time, it seems right. I'm gonna say Venus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel connected to it. Of course, I'm a woman, you know.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds great. Yeah, and that also, I mean, that is a crazy, that's a cool, cool planet. So I agree. That's a very nice place to go. Okay, if you could have a superpower, what kind of superpower would you have?
That's a good question. You know, that's an interesting question because I feel like all of the superpowers that I could think of, I kind of think that we could have. You know what I mean? Right now I want to say, you know, I'd love to be able to time travel, but I think that that's available if we're able to, like, really, really tap in to the source.
Definitely. I feel you on that.
Even if it came to like moving objects or being able to walk through walls, I mean, I think we can do that.
Yeah, I agree. I think there are certain planes of human evolution unattained yet, or possibly attained and just very, sprinkled around the world, causing it to be magic. But yeah, so maybe you would just be like some kind of metaphysical superhero, and just whenever you needed at that time, just kind of like called upon the force. Yeah, that sounds like it. I think that sounds really legit. All right, what's your spirit animal? Like,
you know, I've often asked myself that. I'm not sure if I'm aware of what my spirit animal is yet. However, I do call in a wolf every once in a while.
Nice.
To help me.
It's a good one.
To protect me, you know? So I feel like that's the closest thing I could say to a spirit animal, although I feel like maybe it's a horse.
Ooh.
How can you not?
I don't know.
Big eyes. They'll get you every time.
Long walk on the beach. Big eyes. Yeah, no. Horses are... man, I just... That actually made me really want to go horseback riding. We should go horseback riding sometime, Sid, if you're into that.
I would love that. I would love nothing more.
Okay. Last question. Where do you, I don't know, like, what do you want to do? If you had your perfect scenario of how things were, I don't even know what I'm trying to ask right now. You know, that's a really hard, that was too deep of a question. We're going to reel that back in.
Simplify it. I feel like I knew where you were going, but.
Yeah, if you could have your perfect scenario of how things were for the next like 5 years of like Topelos and where it was going, what do you think that would be? To kind of get back to our like initial talk, and like, you know, like, would it be, you know, I don't know. Yeah. What do you?
Yeah. So I could bore you guys with where I see Capellas in 5 years, which is mostly just Maybe it's not boring. I mean, we're definitely going to be growing to a national scale within probably, you know, within the year. So I want to be able to truly saturate the United States. But in doing so, I want to be able for us to be making enough money to really, really start affecting maybe that's not even fair to say making enough money to do that. I just like to really have more of a community outreach and to be able to be that intentional business that we are intentional with our practices and with the people that work with us and all of that good stuff. But I would like, I want to be able to do more, and it would be nice to have more money to leverage and really to be able to touch
Absolutely.
A lot more people. And where I see myself in that, man, I would like to a big property where all my friends and family can live and we can have a beautiful commune.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah,
and I mean
that's where I'm headed.
A pretty common thing about this show too, or a pretty common theme is like it's really hard because we do have a lot of people who come on here and kind of talk their business, but we're really in that kind of evolving time where like business is kind of intertwined with spirituality. Not to say that it
mm-hmm.
always hasn't been, but I think it's really now a conscious thing, you know, like
yeah.
a very, and you know, I love the energy that, you know, manifests from what Capellos brings into the community. And I know that just how you are as a person, how Ben is as a person, how everybody is as a person, it will develop into more of like this community thing. And it is just like, it's one of those that is just like so special to see that from like a food company too, to get back to kind of what we were saying earlier, to just how food has been kind of over the past, you know, X number of years, is that getting back to having like these kind of ma and pa shops, even though they are all over the United States, like having that love and that energy put out into a capitalistic venture. I don't know. It's such a paradigm shift, and it's such something that is like so genuine that I don't think it's flying under the radar by any sense, but I do think it is what is new. It is what is now, you know? If that makes sense.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Yeah, absolutely. I feel like there's a huge shift happening, and I feel really just incredibly fortunate to be in the position of having a business that I can run the way I want to. And what that means to me is, you know, in a very intentional manner. And all businesses don't have to be cutthroat. And I really want to be able to shift that, because it doesn't have to be
Absolutely.
That way.
Absolutely. Stacey, thank you a trillion times over for coming on tonight. Really
thank
means
you.
A lot.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah,
pleasure.
It was great talking to you, like it always is. and yeah, I'll see you this week. How's that sound?
I look forward to it. Have a great night.
Yeah, you as well. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good.
Bye, Stace.
Bye.
And that was the lovely, very wonderful Stacey Marcellus with Capellos. And you can go on to the Google, if you guys know what the Google is. And you can Google the Capellos. And it's CAPPELLOS, gluten-free pasta. It's going to be the first thing that pops up, which is ironic because Capellos means top hat in Italian, so, you know, you would think the Google would be, I don't know, translating things for you, but it doesn't always do that. And like I was saying earlier, we have the beautiful music stylings of Louie and Shag, like the house DJs in some divine fashion, somewhere. But yeah. This has been a really great, great episode. I think, actually, tonight we're going to end it like we've ended it a couple of times. Play some Mother Mountain, really get some tiny ant flare in here, the Hunter Dragon, and the Sister Grotto, which is Mother Mountain, a.k.a. the old Mariposa. And, yeah, have a little bit of this. Fade out. Cheeseburger Nebula, and I am your host, Dr. William Sirigani. Next week, we're going to have Franklin Metropolis on. He is the head honcho of Cleft Jaw Press out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. He and secondary head honcho who formed like Voltron to be the master head honcho of Left Jaw Press, Dustin Holland. Dustin Holland probably will jump on just because we're going to be discussing the Cleft Jaw reading, which will be happening at the Mercury Cafe May 25th, I want to say, 26th, May 23rd, sorry, 8 p.m. at the Mercury Cafe here in Denver, a.k.a. the Cheeseburger Nebula. And, yeah. It's going to be a great show. It's going to be a more literary show than the rest of these shows, probably just a lot of reading. And probably some more jams by Louis and Shag. They are the house DJs, and we thank them ever so much for donating their extensive music collections to be used. Yeah, and in the next couple weeks, we've got some more exciting. On May 11th, we have Autry Fulbright from Annual Notice by the Trail of Dead, as well as Paul Wesley Langway III of Wizard Bong, which is a badass local Denver just movement. Let's just put it like that, the Wizard Bong movement and its greatness. Anyway, that again was Year of the Dragonfly. You can get that all off of tinyamprecords.bandcamp.com. And Tiny Amp Records is on Tumblr, Instagram, Twitter, all that good stuff. As well as I am your host, and I do have a couple books out, whatever. Anyway, yeah, keep it real. Keep doing your thing. Podcast Swagger America. I love it. I love you, America. Thank you. And thank to Stacey Marcellus for coming on. Yeah, just trying to keep it real.